So when we do Dharma practice, it's the highest and best commitment we can give ourselves to our parents and to the people we love. Why? We totally change.
We totally transform. We totally transform. Even if our parents are dead, we benefit them. It is said when we become a monk, it benefits 7 generations of our family. It has that kind of power. So what am I saying for you to become a monk? No, I'm telling you the power of karma, according to Lord Buddha. It's not made up by Tamarindji here. So, we definitely have commitment. When you meet people who don't have commitment, you ask them, do you eat every day? Yeah, that's commitment. Do you want good food? Yes. And they make a lot of effort to get dressed up, fix their hair, fix their face, put on the right jewelry, you know, fix their nails, fix their toes, fix everything.
And then they go to the right restaurant and drive here, drive there, call everybody, go there and talk 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. How do I know it so well? Because I'm a voyeur? No, because I've done it myself. I'm guilty too. That's why I say we're all guilty. So when you tell people you don't have commitment or you're afraid to do more, it is wrong. I don't think anyone's lying or hiding or trying to be deceptive. I don't think so. I think that we don't know our minds very well. I don't think that we know how our minds operate very well. So my antidote to this is to commit yourself. Commit yourself to allocate your time. Allocate your time to our spiritual practice, to reading, most important. There are so many fabulous books out there. Fabulous. There are so many fabulous authors out there. You pick the author that you like, you pick the author that fits your taste and fits your level and fits your thinking, and you read. Then you attend Dharma talk. And in between, Dharma is not when you're here and you're all sitting there all holy and wonderful and you have your mala and someone's sitting there. That's not it. And then you're chanting. And then some of these people think they're masita, they sit there like this. They look at you, I have a bell, you don't. No, that's not it. So, Dharma is when you're out of the temple. Dharma is when you're out. Some people are very respectful. They don't dare put Kuan Yin in the bedroom. Why they don't put it in the bedroom? Because maybe their feet's pointing, or maybe they sleep with their clothes not on, or maybe they're doing other things. So they're very afraid to put Kuan Yin in the bedroom. But you have to understand something. You in the bedroom is short time, but out of the bedroom is longer. When you're out of the bedroom, you should be more concerned what Kuan Yin sees. You think Kuan Yin can only see you through the picture? No picture Kuan Yin cannot see? You think no statue Kuan Yin cannot see? You think you don't have Buddha statue or Tsongkhapa statue cannot see? You think Buddha only, what is that? Like a telescope, I see you! And some people feel, if they put a smaller Buddha, less guilt, don't see you when you're having your fun. No. Actually, people think when they're meditating, they should be very good. When they're in the temple, they should be very good. And when they're in front of the altar, they should be very good. No. That's very easy to be good. There's nothing to do with Buddha in front of you. What can you do? Nothing to do in front of the Buddha. Right? Nothing. Hi Buddha, how are you? I'm fine, how are you? And the Buddha talks to you, go see a psychiatrist. At our level, Buddha cannot talk to us. No. The only person that Buddha can talk to in this room, because it's a little off, is Sao Chen, a little bit. That one, when she tells you Buddha talks to her, you just say, oh yes, Sao Chen. Yeah. Because if you tell her what she wants, she'll give you checks. You know what kind of checks? She'll take you to eat. She'll give you a free drink. Nothing more. Nothing more. She won't give you anything more than that. Because she's very generous. Yes. Nothing more. But a free drink, a little yam chai, and then she'll tell you she sees Buddha, that, you know, Tsongkhapa talks to her, and, you know, Tsongkhapa advised her. You just say, yes. Very good, wonderful. Then you get a free cup of tea, go home. Easy. Anything more, Sachin won't give you. Trust me, I tried. Nothing more. That one, I tell you, got bigger safe than Fort Knox. Cannot I tell you that one. That one's saving for her next life. No, I'm just kidding. Sachin's got this look, it's always victimized me. I don't know how to, she's like this look, you know, her hair's like talking, she sounds like, you know. But when you say money, she's like, she always got this victim look. So Sachin's very easy to teach. In case you don't know who Sachin, she's our lady president, who's wonderful and fabulous and has committed 0.001% of her time to the Dharma. Wonderful, I tell you. I've been working on it for years. I've been getting advice, you know, and that's a tough cookie. That's one fortune cookie you won't open up. No, I'm just kidding. She's a wonderful lady. Wonderful. Anybody else, they would have walked out here already. Now, so when we have this type of fear and we can't commit, you're not a bad person. when I tease you that you spend time on hair and makeup and fun and clothes and hard making money, you're not a bad person. Why? You're doing that to make yourself happy. You're doing that to make other people happy. That's the only way you know how to make yourself happy. To have nice hair, to look good, to have nice apartment, nice car. Then you have nice title, you have nice money. Then you feel, you make you happy, make other people happy. So it's not bad. What you're trying to do is make yourself happy. My message is that it doesn't make you happy. It doesn't. Why? If you guys are all happy, you wouldn't be in this room. You'll all be in heaven, dancing around, Lama Tsong Kaba. I don't know, somewhere you'd be very happy. I'm not saying you're unhappy, but your happiness doesn't last. It's like this, up and down, up and down. So, when you listen to the Dharma, you must listen carefully. You must listen to the message, not the style or the words, the message. When you listen to the Dharma, you must back it up by study. You must read. If you don't read and you just go for teachings once a month or once every 2 weeks, it will not be enough. Even in university, you go for lectures. You have to study before and after the lecture. It's very logical. Nobody hears Manjushri. Upon hearing, you memorize everything. I don't think so. If there is, raise your hand. I'll test you. I don't think so. Even I won't raise my hand. You should see me when I was in the monastery. I was the dumbest one in the class. No, I'm being humble. Sometimes you have to be humble, you know. That's right, I'm thinking, what's that about? Now, so when you're not committed, you're not a bad person. Let me make it clear, I'm not being diplomatic, I'm being totally straightforward. When you're not committed, you're not a bad person. When you're not committed, it's just that you take your time up for other things. But what I want to tell you is the things that you've taken up for other things, will they bring you lasting value, lasting happiness? So if they don't bring you lasting value and happiness, then we need to allocate our time for Dharma companies, which is listening to the Dharma, reading the Dharma, meditating, contemplating the Dharma. What's meditation? Meditation is simply to go over what you have learned and think about it again and again and again. When you think about it again and again, it becomes very firm and very strong. And therefore, when you come across a situation, you will avoid it. Something that's harmful, you will avoid it. Be your own therapist. So when you're not committed, if negative things comes around in the future, when nasty things happen in the future, how will you be able to handle it? How will you be able to handle it? If we don't need to apply to any spiritual practice or learning or development, and that when negative things happen, we just go to the temple or to the church and things be solved, then we don't need to have Dharma talks. We have seen many cases where the church and temple cannot solve people's problems. Why can they not solve people's problems? Because problems are not to be solved by the church or the temple. They're to be solved by your own therapist. How do you solve your own problems? How? By going to the temple, going to the church, and listening to the teachings and applying it into your life. 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. Backing it up with knowledge by reading. Backing up with question and answer sessions. Then the church and the temple has become very powerful. If you're a Sunday temple goer, you just go for Sundays and do some chanting, cheap chanting, and you disappear, you can do that for 20, 30 years, you'll get no knowledge about it. You get no knowledge of Buddhism. Even if you're a Christian, you go to church every week for 10, 20 years, you will not see your mind transform. Why will your mind not transform? Why will you not change? Because you're not learning anything. Do you think you can be rich? Do you think you can be rich by just hanging around Bill Gates? Sitting around waiting for the change to fall out? Or do you think you have to be around him and learn the methods and how he did and apply it? So if being around Bill Gates, you won't be rich, but learning what he does, you can be rich potentially. Then why is it being around the Dharma, just chanting and being in the Dharma, you can be a Buddha? You can't. You have to apply the Buddha. You cannot be in the Dharma. The Dharma has to be in you. How does it become in you? It's that you have to practice and apply the method. If you practice and apply the method, you will see transformation. Definitely, you will see transformation. Definitely. Definitely. Some people say, hey, you're in Dharma so long, you're near the Guru so long, or you're near this High Lama, or you know so much, you can chat so much. But how come like that? How come no change? Why? They have not applied the Dharma inside. It's very, very obvious. They have not committed themselves to the Dharma. They don't make a commitment to the Dharma. If you make a commitment to the Dharma, many things in your life will change. What's a commitment to the Dharma? Let me make it very, very fundamental, very simple. Commitment to the Dharma is when you open up your pain, when you open up your fear, you open up your doubts, and you learn about them, and you open them, and you apply the methods to overcome our fear, our pain, our doubts, our anger, our jealousy, when we apply the methods. When you apply the methods, it'll be very painful. It'll be very painful, but at least this pain leads to healing. If you go outside, and someone on the street scolds you and tells you you're stupid, it's very painful. Very, very painful, but it ends there. The person disappears. But someone who is knowledgeable, perhaps your guru, perhaps, tells you you're stupid. It's painful, just like someone else telling you you're painful. But at least your guru, the next step, will offer you a method how to overcome the problem. So when we run away from our guru, when we run away from our teacher, when we don't surrender to ourselves, it's very hard to get Dharma knowledge. And look, in the end, when we're about to die, what do we have left? A very powerful meditation we should do every single day is visualizing ourselves dying, visualize ourselves being put into a coffin, visualizing the people looking. Don't look at it, look from it. Look at yourself dying and your eyes closing and it becomes black. Visualize and feel, you cannot hear, you cannot taste, and you lose your mouth, motory powers, you lose your power to speak. Visualize yourself, you cannot feel heat and cold anymore, and everything turns dark. Because that's what's going to happen actually. Buddha has given very specific teachings on the process of death. Very specific. That's what's going to happen. So visualize yourself dying. Your eyes going off, your ears going off, your feelings, heat, cold, no more. Visualize you cannot talk, saliva driving up, you cannot control your motor mouth anymore. Motor functions like your mouth and muscle. Visualize, you have to. It's scary, but you have to. Why? It will happen. It will happen. And it will happen soon for some of us. Very soon. So what's the result of your life? You have a few kids, you have money in the bank, so what? You have a position, you have a name, so what? Doesn't help you when you're dying, doesn't help you in your next life. Visualize yourself dying. Visualize yourself, people washing your body, your corpse, dressing it. Visualize yourself being put into a coffin and sealed. Visualize yourself 3-4 days of ceremonies, people chanting away, screaming, wearing white, or whatever incense. Visualize a few people coming and crying for you, and a few other people faking they're crying for you. Visualize it. Visualize a few people laughing because you're dead. And visualize a few people on the side talking about who gets how much and what house and what inheritance and fighting. Visualize, that's what's going to happen. Everything you have belongs to other people will be taken away. You can keep nothing. That's what the Buddha said. This doesn't belong to the Tibetan tradition, it belongs to every Buddhist tradition, such as the Thais. Thais actually visualize and meditate in front of a corpse or in a cemetery. Very powerful. Visualize yourself, your body going inside a coffin. Visualize the coffin closing up. Visualize yourself, the people mourning and crying, and then that'll be over. Visualize yourself being lowered into the ground. And visualize laying down, looking up, watching the dirt being thrown on you. Even more scary is visualize your body being burned, some of your cremation. Visualize it in detail and meditate. Don't just finish. In detail and meditate. And visualize yourself going to the ground, all sounds, all color, all form, all shape, stop. You're finished. That will happen. And visualize, and then remember all the things you've done in your life. And what have you done in your life that will help you? Your big car, your house, your small car, your small house, your big Buddha statue, your crucifix, your money, your lack of money, your poverty you suffered your whole life, or your wealth you suffered your whole life. What do you think will help you? Your beauty? No, because you visualize your body rotting away. Visualize the maggots inside eating you. That is what's going to happen. You're not visualizing. Don't avoid and don't be afraid. And don't think, oh my God, that will happen. It will happen to all of us in this room. And if you can't face it now, and you're scared, how do you face it later? You think it's something you can avoid. So therefore, keep being mean to people. Keep arguing with people. Keep closing up. Keep complaining. Keep being nasty. Keep being stingy. Keep being manipulative. Keep tricking and lying to people. Keep lying to your gurus. Keep lying and using the Dharma. Keep hurting other people. Keep making empty promises. Because when you are lowered into the ground at that time, reality sets in. So what's the purpose of doing this meditation? To scare you, to frighten you, to make you unhappy? No, it is to make you happy. How can death meditation make you happy? Because it makes you realize what is important in life, who is important, and what is important. When you can't, you see, for human beings, usually when we can't have what we're used to, then we change. If we're spoiled rotten and the war comes, we don't have any more food, next time when the war is over, any food they give us, we're happy. But before the war, cannot eat that, don't want to eat vegetables, don't want to eat this, don't want to eat that, cannot eat that, cannot eat this, all cannot eat one. But after the war, anything can. You give them some cow dung can. My point is, when you visualize things being taken away before it's time, you will appreciate what you have. When you appreciate, you will see your anger calm down. I'm giving you a direct meditation for calming down anger, attachment, and preoccupation with useless things. I'm giving you a meditation. You came here to learn meditation, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the most powerful meditation. It's the first subject of the Lamrim teachings written by Lama Tsongkhapa. The first teaching is impermanence and death. The first chapter of Lamrim, I'm giving it to you in summarization. So you visualize yourself. And you do that every day. You want meditation, you sit in front of your altar or wherever you are, and you do that meditation every day. You do your refuge prayers, you do your Lama Tsongkhapa Buddha Yoga, then you do Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra. And why? You ask Lama Tsongkhapa to open your mind. Open. Turn off your phone, turn off your SMS, turn everything off, put on your aircon, whatever, put on your fan, relax, wear something comfortable, do your refuge prayers. You only take refuge in the Buddha. You only take refuge in the Dharma, you only take refuge in a spiritual friend. You do not take refuge in evil things. What's evil? Things that encourage you to harm others. That's evil. I'm not talking about the devil or all these things. I don't know about that. I'm talking about real evil things. Real evil things is the mind that makes you harm others. Then you take refuge. After you take refuge, Namo Gurube, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sanghaya. From your heart, you do the refuge visualization that I talked about before. You do the refuge visualization. Then, you do Lama Tsongkhapa's Buddha Yoga. Short, sweet, but powerful. All the 84,000 teachings of Lord Buddha's contained in the Lama Tsongkhapa's Buddha Yoga. We're coming out with a book soon explaining that, but I have CDs and tapes of the explanations I've given on Lama Tsongkhapa's Buddha Yoga. Each explanation I give is slightly different than the other. Each meditation is slightly different because of the crowd and the people. But it's all valid. It comes from valid sources. So you do the Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga, then you do Lama Tsongkhapa Mantra. Why? Because this meditation is not just about a realization. It is to tap into a spiritual energy such as Buddha Tsongkhapa to open your mind so your meditation becomes even more better. How? When you do prayers, listen carefully, my friends. When you do prayers and mantras to Lama Tsongkhapa or any Buddha, let's just use Lama Tsongkhapa, it opens your affinity. So affinity is there. Affinity is there. Potent, yet ready to open. Dormant. Dormant. What's the Chinese word for dormant? Never mind. You. Oh dear. Xingpiao? Okay, everybody heard that? What's that? Chen Zai, is it? Say louder. Okay, good. You guys heard? Okay, good. What is it? Dormant? Yeah, don't forget. Affinity is dormant. What's affinity? Is another word for karma. It's inside of us. So how do we open it? Listen. When we do our prayers every day, when we do our talk, when we listen to Dharma teachings, and it affects our mind, that means something has opened. That is what we call in Tibet a blessing, Jima. That's why lamas, high lamas, will put something high on something holy on your head when you go see them. Or they touch you on the head and they do some prayers. Or they take your malas and they touch you with it. Or they take your pendant and bless it. Why? They do it with some prayers that when that item touches you, it opens up your affinity. It opens up. So how much we open up our affinity is how powerful our practice will be. Because all of us have affinity. Affinity in Tibetan is... Okay, I'm going to do a little far away. Like bacha or... imprints, karmic imprints from our previous life. You're here because you have an imprint. You've done some Dharma practice. You've listened to the Dharma practice. You have some imprint from your previous life. So when we meet, when we talk, I'm opening it up. I, as a superior being, open up? No. No. How do I open it up? Because I'm telling you something that you have done before. So in your previous life, you praise Tsongkhapa. When you see Tsongkhapa, you feel very happy. But if I explain things about Tsongkhapa to you, you practice, I opened it up for you. I opened it up as a supernatural being. No, I'm just like a teacher that gives you knowledge. It's something inside of you. So before, in our altars, we do offerings. We collect the merits in order to accomplish our meditations. Then, we do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga. And we do it from our heart. Don't run here and there for initiations. Don't run here and there for big ceremonies. Don't. You want to be big high lamas? Go and get blessing, no problem. Don't stay for initiations practice. I'll tell you why. Are you ready? Are you committed? Then, after you do that, Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga, to open your affinity, recite Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra, Ming Me Tsewe Tse Chin Chen and Zik, Dream Ekem Oma Jam Yen, Dubo Mayen, Jom Tse Sam Yen, Ka Jin Ge Vesu Kung Ma, Lo San Chabi, Shabla So On That, the medium length one, or the short one, Om Arabasan Na Di. Same. Why? When you recite that, it's invoking upon three energies: wisdom, skillful means, and compassion. And those three energies that you invoke upon will open it up in you during your meditation. So when you do your meditation, you'll be protected. During our meditations, we need to be protected. If we are not protected and we invoke, sometimes we can invoke wrong things. Wrong things. Then you're protected during your meditation. You're vulnerable. You're focusing in. Then when you're focusing in, when you do Lama Tsongkhapa's Mitsema and you do what I just explained, visualize yourself dying, the process of death, the effect it has, the fighting it causes, the happiness it causes, or the neutral feeling it causes, and visualize yourself being lowered into the ground and thinking very strongly, what matters now? What matters now? What really matters now? And don't just ask yourself, just like, oh, I'm done with the meditation. Ask yourself, what matters now? And you do that meditation and you visualize yourself being lowered into the ground and being covered. No more light, no more sounds, no more arguments, no more children, no more friends, no more husband, no more wife. Let me tell you, my friends, that will happen to you and me. And when we visualize that, we will sweat, we will be scared, we will become anxious, and then we turn the fear around into, now what shall I do before that happens? The next time you want to argue, because it doesn't matter anymore when you're going to die. The next time you want to be right, you let the other person win. The next time you want to use sneaky business tactics to trick people out of their money, you stop. The next time you want to spend 50 hours on your hair and 0 hours on your meditation and practice, you stop. The next time you want to engage in magical practices to gain powers, or supernormal abilities, or the third eye, you stop. The next time you want to argue or fight with someone else to prove you're right, you're a good person, or explain, you stop. The next time you want to go to someone else and get someone's sympathy, you stop. Why do you stop? Because you go back to your meditation, think doesn't matter. Do you know how to make yourself stop angry, stop fighting, stop being greedy and jealous? You know how? When you do the death meditation every single day. Strongly, and then you start to live. When you meditate on death, you start to live. Do you know why? Living is not being evil. Living is not arguing. Living is not trying to be right. Living is not always exploiting others. Living is not always arguing and fighting and trying to be the best. Living is not covering your fears and covering your anxieties and covering your lack of awareness. That's not living. That is not living at all. Living is when you have achieved the opposite of those. What is the opposite of those? The opposite of living is harming others. Why? How can you live harming others? How can others live being harmed? That's not living. That's not living at all. How do you start living? By meditating on death. How do you start changing your habituations and habits? By meditating on death. Why should you change your habitations? Because you're an evil person? No. Because you create the affinity for good things to happen. And that's the subject of this talk, is affinity. How do you create affinity? How? You create affinity by your aspirations. If you every day say, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, you're creating infinity. If every day you say, I want to be a Buddha, I want to be a Buddha, you create infinity. But if you say that and do that in front of an enlightened being that has power, that's the power of the object, subject, and the connecting point. Object, Buddha, subject, yourself, a conscious mind, and something in between. That's the aspirational prayer, that you create infinity. So don't sit in your homes waiting for affinity, hoping for affinity. Create it. Create your reality. Create your reality. Create what you can be. First, by aspiration. Second, by cutting off habits. Third, engaging in the method to cut off habits. Let me tell you something. Let me share a little secret with you. This Lama, I've been dubbed the Neon Lama. This Neon Lama does death meditation. And that's what keeps this Neon Lama in line. This is what keeps this Neon Lama practicing the Dharma and teaching. This is what keeps this Neon Lama from not cheating and stealing and lying. Because this Neon Lama thinks, hey, I can exploit everybody. I tell everyone, hi Lama, give me this and give me that. Everybody will give it to me. I'll get whatever I want, everywhere, anywhere I go in the world. Then when I do death meditation, I say, what for? What for? That's why I'm very particular on karma, very particular on my vows, very particular on money, very particular on dharma, very particular. I'm not fussy or uptight. I'm very particular because I do a little bit of death meditation. I do it. And sometimes it scares me, I can't even sleep. Why? Because I'm not a Buddha. I can't control my rebirth. So I know that if I don't change myself now, I'm in for it. And if I'm in for it, definitely all of you are in for it. What are you in for? You and me are the same. We're humans. So therefore, I do death meditation quite often. Quite often. You know what the effect is? My depressions become less. No time for being depressed anymore. No time for feeling sorry for myself. No time for wallowing in my own pain. I'm a very depressed, very manic depressant type of person. I've been depressed my whole life. I'm a very manic depressant. And I always complain, and I always find people to complain to. That's my habit. I know that. So I cut it much less by doing death meditation. Because why? I realize what is important. I don't play with money. I don't manipulate money. I don't lie to people about money. I don't try to get money from people. I don't play money games ever. You can ask or talk to any of my senior students here who know me for more than 10, 15 years, who take care of my accounts. I don't do any manipulation of money or lie or try to steal or take or manipulate or push or try to trick. Never! Because Buddha says when we do that, the karma that comes from poverty, or having money and not being able to spend it, or having money, but along with money, we lose our freedom. There are people with money, they lose their freedom. That's a result of negative karma. Negative karma for getting money. Why? Their money entraps them. Then, I don't do things like that. When I teach the Dharma, or when I do Dharma actions, or I do Dharma practices, I do it from my heart. Some people say I'm not sincere, some people say I'm good, some people say I'm pure, some people say I'm not a Rinpoche, some say I'm not high, some people say I'm real, some people say I'm not real. It doesn't matter. I know I'm real. I know I am real. Do you know why I know I'm real? Because I do death meditation. And what is strong in me is not to trick people with Dharma. Never. I would never do it anyways, even without death meditation, but death meditation confirms it. Why? The result will come back to me. Death meditation helps me to live better. How am I living? I harm people less. I scold people to hurt them. Almost zero. I usually don't scold. I shout and scream at people. I do, but I don't do it to hurt them. I do it to wake them up when it's too much. I never shout to hurt people, never. But I do shout. One or two people have heard me shout in the past 10 years, once or twice. Keep your smile to yourself, Henry. That's right. Once in a while. But I don't shout to hurt, that is for sure. Am I pure? No. I'm not that evil. And I definitely, I'm quite an honest person. Quite honest. Am I saying this to show off? No, I'm telling you that death meditation helped me to become what? Why am I living better? Because I am honest. I am straightforward. I don't manipulate money. I don't try to trick people. I don't use religion to get things out of people. I don't. You can observe me all you want. It doesn't bother me. How did I become that? By death meditation. And that's why I'm living much better than I was before. Much better. Not manipulating people is so much less work. You have to cover your tracks less. Not lying to people, you have less stress. Not tricking people for money, you have no fear that people will get you. Not always chasing the money and manipulating, playing with money, you have less stress. You get to keep your hair, you get to keep your sanity, you get to keep your family, you get to keep your friends. The minute you go into money, you trick money, or you lie, or you do funny things with money, always chase after money, you lose your friends, you lose respect, you lose everything, you lose the Dharma. You get nothing back but maybe money. That's it. So when you die, they stitch your funeral clothes for money. That's going to be interesting. So my point is, what is? I don't do these kind of things because I'm holy? No. Because I'm a high Rinpoche? No. Neither of those. Because I have done some death meditation in the last 20 years, since I was a young child. And it put my perspective straight. Just now, for some of you intelligent people out there, ladies and gentlemen, when I talked about death meditation, I saw you notice. When I described it in intimate detail, I saw you guys actually fuck up. And I'm very happy to see that. I am not trying to scare you, or insult you, or to put you down, or to create fear. I'm trying to tell you how to change your habit. And if you think, oh, well, you know what? I'm a chicken. I'm 21, and I'm going to live for the next 60 years. That's wonderful for you to talk about for Rinpoche, because you're 120 years old, and the rest of you are 150 years old. And that's wonderful for you, but I'm a chicken, I'm young, I'm smooth, I've got great hair, and I'm fabulous, and I don't need to take anything from Angel's wonderful clinic elixir to make myself young. I don't need to do any of that. And you got to talk about that. Okay, then for you young whippersnappers and chickens and who are pure and fabulous and great hair and great skin, then think about one of your friends or your parents or somebody else that you care about. What can you do for them? So if you're some little chicken who's thinking, I don't think that's going to finish. I'm not gone for another 1,000 years. Okay. What about your mother? What about your father? You don't sit there and wish for them to die. No, 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 no. Meditating on death doesn't wish or want or even be happy. Thinking about it doesn't make people die. Why? You have a lot of enemies you've been hating, and you die, die, die. They don't die, well, they become better. Many of you got enemies you hate. Some of you have nasty husbands, die, 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 leave the money for me, die. They don't die, well. So wishing and meditating on people dying don't make them die. So don't worry about that. Because Chinese is very bantang, right? Very superstitious. Oh, I'm a thing like that, oh, how? No, like, you think you're Buddha, you think you're Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein last time think that people die because he's that henchman, you know, he's just, that's it. But you're not Saddam Hussein, what? So what's my point? Thinking about it, don't be so superstitious or scared. No. It makes you wake up. So if you're some chicken and you're young and you're going to live 20,000 years from now and you think you don't need to think about death, think about people who are going to die around you. I know some of you thinking, tonight I'll meditate, Rinpoche's going to die. I know there's some people out there who's thinking, let me meditate on that Sam Rinpoche dropping dead. I know. But it's okay, because when I'm gone, you're going to miss me. You always miss what you hate, you know that. You're going to miss me, I tell you. I'm going to be in your dreams. You're going to dream about me every night, teaching you the Dharma and telling you that you should meditate on death. And if I happen to be a high Rinpoche, then I'll travel to your dreams in my astral body. So you sit there dreaming about, you know, counting money on a beach. Oh, that's Xiao Chen. Okay, you're sitting there dreaming that you're on a beach and having, you know, a nice lady there, you know, dancing in a dress skirt. And for some of you, a nice man there dancing in a dress skirt. I don't know what you like. And you do, and then all of a sudden, you're like, oh no, is that him? And on the big dark cloud it rains and it's Sam Rinpoche. And you're like, oh no, I thought he's dead. Then you go to the retreat center in Kuala Lumpur or nearby, and you go and you, in the night when everybody's asleep, all the retreat freaks and the liaisons and the committee members are all asleep, you know, they're in the back, you know, doing their retreats or winding their moment, all being holy, you know. Then you go and dig up the stupa. You dig up the Sigong San, you find my corpse. Yeah, he's still there. How'd that happen? He did travel to me in his astral body. Oh, they bury Rinpoches in stupas, high lamas and stupas in Tibet, for people to worship and circumambulate. with me, my previous life, they just threw me in the trash can. Okay, too bad he's dead. Oh well, let's move on. So when they came, you know, they never found me because I was in a trash can. But no trash bag, just a trash can. My feet sticking out. That's right. So what happened is, when you do death meditation, it really puts you back in reality. So you came here to learn Dharma. You want a magic mantra? I got a magic mantra. Omarabasanadi, Umtari Tutari Tarisa, Omani Pemehom, those are magic mantras. So what happened? We all recite Omani Dham, nothing happened. You're looking at me, I'm looking at you. Some of you are looking at me, some of you, I don't want to look at you. Nothing happens. Then we recite Zambala's mantra, Zambala Zalam Jaya Soha, you know, like, Zambala Zalam Jaya Soha, Zambala Jaya Soha, Zambala Jaya Soha. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. I've been reciting Zambala and I go like that trying to catch the money, it doesn't happen. My problem is, my bank got a hole. Every time the money comes, it falls out. I don't know why. I looked at my account today and yesterday and I had a heart attack. I was like, I really had a heart attack. I had a real heart attack. I said, why the money keep disappearing? Yeah, that's right. In next life, I'm not praying for nice sponsors anymore. I'm praying for Zambala as my sponsor, that's it. I'm tired of human sponsors. I want Zambala as my sponsor. And Zambala will say to me, no limits! Come and get how much you want, thank you. Yeah, I love it. Don't you love it? Money with no limits. Now, so you come here for meditation. You come here to learn meditation. So what do you want to do? Sit here, fold our hands and do breathing. Then you see lights because you're dizzy. What do you want? Then you want women to give you initiation. I give you Yamataka. Oh, wow, 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 wow. Then after you get Yamataka. Oh, I got Yamataka. I'm a high tantric practitioner. I get a table in a cage. I can chant and I know how to ring a bell. That's right. So what happens? You know Yamataka, nothing happens. Why? You haven't grasped the Dharma. If you practice Tantra, you haven't grasped the Dharma. No, nothing. If you practice Tantra, you don't study the Lamrim, you don't meditate on the Lamrim, even the first chapter, Death and Impermanence, your Tantric practice is just another Chinese opera. It's another tired Chinese opera. No Beijing, no Cantonese opera. This one is Kichara opera. You come here and look at Tantric practitioners, look like opera session. They wear their clothes, they sit all holy, they wear her. No, even this one, the big opera star here. What's the point? Chinese opera, they chant, sound like cats mating, right? Some of the Tantric ritual sounds like dogs mating. What's the point? So if you don't meditate on death and impermanence, your practice becomes fake. It becomes really fake. How does it become fake? You know how your practice becomes fake? Let me tell you how. You don't see your mind changing. Every year it's the same story. I can't commit. Every year, oh, I'm angry. Oh, every year you have the same song. I can't change. Every year I can't be aware. Every year I can't push myself. Every single year it's the same song. You know how stars who sing the same song, you don't buy your CDs anymore? Why do you think? So if we sing the same song, do you think people buy our CD? Think about it. That's why people get tired of our CDs. Then we move on to a new group. Then they look at us like, oh, you're fabulous. And after a short while, they go, oh dear, don't want his CD anymore. Think about it. Do you want your CDs to go out of sale? Think about it. Then when your CDs go out of sale, you got to push yourself into another level to be heard. You talk a lot. You become angry. You put your fist down. Or you try to use your beauty. Or you get a... You know, you get operations. You do anything to attract the attention. Why? You're not a bad person. You know that your CDs not selling anymore. So you gotta try methods. You gotta try other methods. You wanna reach that level, nobody wants to buy your CD. And that's what happens with all of us. So, when we do death meditation, it's the first subject, the first chapter of the Holy Lamrim teachings. The first chapter and the first subject. Lamrim is Stages and Paths of Enlightenment, originally written by Atisha, then even retaught the same subject but more in detail by the great incomparable Lama Tsongkhapa, one of his greatest works, among his hundreds of works he's done. And along with that, His Holiness Kepchen Pabongka Dorje Chambo, Pabongka Rinpoche, in the earlier 20th century, taught, and thousands of lamas and tukuls and high lamas and officials came to Lhasa to converge in Lhasa to listen to the great Buddha, Kyabji Palungpa Rinpoche, teach the Lama and transform their minds. The first subject is death and impermanence, and I've given you a rundown, a very easy rundown. You should do that meditation. Don't leave this place thinking, oh, that was great, that's name, that was funny, I had a good time, he speaks well, and he doesn't look bad either. Thank you. Thank you very much. Don't think you can get your way with me by telling me sweet words. Do I look like I can be swayed by sweet words? That's right. So, what I described to you just now, you should do. So, what's your practice every day for people who don't have a practice, for newbies or new people? Every day, you should make offerings on your altar. Simple, grand, extensive. How much you want back, how much you offer up to you. So, next slide, you want to be born in Sahara Desert, finding water once a year, then you offer one teeny cup of water before you come. So, next slide, you want to be born with a big house, big car, a lot of water, a lot of food, and fabulous clothes, and great body, then you offer silver, bowls, big, huge, the Buddha would do. Do you want to be sneaky, you don't have money, but you have big car, big house, big girlfriend, everything big. But you buy stainless steel. Oh, I don't have money, how on? Next time also. Next time people wave money at you, you do what I say, you get this, you do what they say, you get it, but then you don't get stuck because you can't do what you want. See? You're trapped. So how much you offer, how much you get back. Make affinity. Chinese believe in affinity. Other people believe in affinity, I think. I believe in affinity. I make offerings every day because in my next life, I'm going to be swimming in it, snorkeling in it. That's right, no more this. I'm going to be swimming in it. And I can use it to benefit other people. Tremendously. People like the Dalai Lama open their mouth, they raise millions of dollars. What do? They turn around and help other people. That's what I want to do. I want to open my mouth and raise more than $1,000. Thank you very much. So, every day, take refuge in the Buddha from your heart. Afterwards, make offerings, take refuge in the Buddha. Do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga. Wonderful. Wonderful for every state of mind that you have. You want an easy practice? No complications? No danger. Some meditation you do wrong, you can go crazy. Really. You walk in like this, you walk out. Have some meditations like that. That's why you need a guru to teach you correctly. Alright? But this meditation, no danger at all. It's very beneficial. So you can do a very simple meditation. So everybody say, who's my yidam? Who's my yidam? Who's my yidam? Is a new catchword now. Who's my yidam? Who's going to be my meditation deity? Who's the special Buddha I have? Lama Tsongkhapa. Why Lama Tsongkhapa? It's perfect for us. We're lazy, we got a lot of mental problems, we're always upset, we're always angry, we're greedy, we want more things, Lama Tsongkhapa. You look at Lama Tsongkhapa, very gentle, very nice. Even in China, you go to Yonghe Gong Temple, the Emperor Qingrong Temple, you go there, the main Buddha there is Lama Tsongkhapa. You go to Beijing now, I went there, you can see, we have books here, you can look at the outlets. Qingrong, the Emperor of China's main Yidam, is Lama Tsongkhapa. You go to the south, Lama Tsongkhapa, you go to Wu Dai San, you see Lama Tsongkhapa there in China. Lama Tsongkhapa's practice is very famous in China. You guys don't know why? Because your father was a farmer who didn't read, who came over on a boat to Straits of Malacca, then you work here, and you work very hard, you become rich, and you think you're summoned to home. Of course you don't know. Somewhere the emperor don't want to let you pray to what he prayed to, because you're not the emperor, so it's like, no face. You know this Chinese face thing, I get confused. That's right, what the emperor prays to, other people cannot pray to, otherwise, you know, it's not special on my own here. Never mind. You go Yonghe Gong Temple is very big in Beijing, I went. Huge complex, huge temple, you should go. Next time you go on a trip, please go to Beijing. A few hours away, don't go to some tired island, don't go to some tired mountain and go skiing and break your face. Don't go all these weird places. Don't go someplace else, lay on the beach and get skin cancer, forget it. Don't go down to Australia, don't go to America, don't go to London. In London, there's nobody there who's London, everybody's from the Middle East already. Don't go. I went there, I didn't see any London people, that's all Middle Eastern people. There's nothing wrong, but anyways. Don't go to Canada, there's nothing there, you know, just Smokey the Bear, just smoking the bear. Go to Beijing. Fly there and make sure someone speaks Mandarin, because if you don't, they'll take you on a ride. You'll end up in, I don't know, Shanghai. There for dinner, they charge you 1,000 yuan. I'm like, what? go there and go to Yonghegong Temple. You can ask Xing Piao. Xing Piao is our sound guy there. He knows where it is. And see the Lamtung over there. Beautiful. Hundreds of years old, made in China. So this practice is something for China. Not all of you Chinese. I'm not Chinese. You're not Chinese. I'm trying to convince the Chinese crowd here. I don't have to be convinced. So Tsongkhapa is not a Tibetan Buddha. It's a Buddha. So when you do Tsongkhapa's practice, very, very powerful for arresting immediate depression, unhappiness, a sense of senselessness, a sense of loneliness. Unless your teacher has assigned you something special, or something for you. Do Lama Tsongkhapa. Who's your Yidam? Lama Tsongkhapa. What practice? Lama Tsongkhapa. What Guru Yodam? Why? It's effective, it's easy, it's short, but it's very powerful. How wonderful. What statue should we give? Lama Tsongkhapa. What offering should we make? Lama Tsongkhapa. What about my Kuan Yin? Put Kuan Yin next to it, they can share. No problem. What do you think? Tsongkhapa's like, can I have a cup of Kuan Yin? No! You think like that, Kuan Yin is so bad off. In front, she's like, and behind, she's like, no, Tsongkhapa, you can't drink my water. No, she's not like that. And who, where, what? Ah, put the way you want. You think they fight? You think at night they fight, you got the higher seat, I got the lower seat? Kuan Yin will date Lama Tsongkhapa at night, don't worry. All these silly questions like, don't worry, Buddhas never fight, Buddhas have no revenge, and Buddhas will share. Even got one drop of water, they'll fight. You have a Kuan Yin, Tsongkhapa says, no, you have it, 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 you have it. And by the time they finish arguing in the morning, you change the water. Oh, no, now who has it? They're very compassionate. Very, very nice. Very good. Don't worry about that, huh? Don't worry. Because I have a lot of Chinese people ask me, how long? I don't like a Kuan Yin. I got some intelligent young people asking me, but I won't tell you who. How long? I got a Kuan Yin, I put Tsongkhapa, how long? Ayo, put it on the roof. What do you think? Together, no problem. Together. How big the statue, the bigger the better. Why? Big car, big girlfriend, big boyfriend, big wallet, big money, big bank account, big statue. Yeah, see you match. How can everything big and some statue so small? You see your grand chart. You know, like everything's like la 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 statue la. And then car la. No, cannot be. Everything has to be big. You want big? Everything must be big. Big, 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 big. Small statue, bad luck. Big statue, good luck. New bantang. New bantang, new superstition for Malaysia, okay? New. I want this to become mass consciousness. Small statue, bad luck. Big statue, big luck. No statue, no luck. Ah, that's good enough. Yes. New superstition, new bantang for Malaysia. Malaysians love superstitions. Add another one up. You see Sam Chen in the back right now, oh my god, no statue, no luck. Big statue, big luck. Small statue, no luck. But oh dear. She's very scared of no luck. The first time Xiao Qian met me, she said to me, how do I make money? I'm like, this is not doing well. Something like that. Oh, no, she asked me about changing to another business because it's not making enough money. Something about money, I got confused. So, remember this new catchphrase, and it's the truth. Because Rinpoche said so. Oh, I love it. Use my name. No statue, no luck. Small statue, bad luck. Big statue, good luck. Don't forget the new mantra. Isn't that great? I just made it up tonight. I love it. But it sounds right, what? When you go to a big temple and inside got one small statue with a microscope. Big one, what? Look at Kelantan, they make you big Buddha. Galaxy, they make big Buddha. Bright Hill, make big Buddha. Your house, your statue like that. Where are? Then they cut bigger than your statue. Here, this is your Buddha statue. Here's the Buddha trinket, here! The Buddha drown. It's small. People say, oh, I don't have the money now. I think I'll buy a small one to start. Well, this one, how much? Oh, $60, so much. How much is this one? $50. Oh, I think I can pay it now. $5 a month, I buy can now. Here. And then when they go buy their car, cash. I cannot. Set up a beautiful altar. Set up a beautiful altar with Lord Buddha, any Buddha, Tsongkhapa. Then put your stupa, then you put your Dharma book. See, this whole Dharma is beautiful. Or you could, Tibetan text is even better. You know why Tibetan text is better? Because it's flat, small, fits nicely. The Western text looks a little messy. Look, what's that? Backdrop. Modern contemporary art. I don't know. Tibetan, one nice like that. Then beautiful altar, beautiful offerings in front every day. Then after you put beautiful offerings, you make prostration, you make very nice prayers, right? Then next year, then you put water, grows bigger, means you give this away, you buy a bigger one. That's fine, very nice. And then inside, you know what you should do? You go see our Saraswati Arts Department, they're wonderful people. SS through Saraswati, they do the painting, they do the refurbishing, they put the mantras and all for you. You walk in, you walk out, you walk in, lonely, poor, nothing, no Buddha, lost in the woods, you walk out with the Buddha happy. Saraswati, very nice. And then they put the mantra in for you, and they do the artwork for you, they paint the way you like, they're very nice young people. And then you set it up beautifully. Set it up very beautiful. And there's a lot of people in South Swim to KP who can teach you how to do all sorts of love. You want Chinese? Got. You want English? Got. Allah. You want one that walk around with the bound feet talking Chinese? Got. Name is Chia. Got. Yeah, Chia's feet bound, but they unbounded. They broke. A reincarnation of a bound feet person. Just deeper meaning, but never mind. Some of you will understand. Some of you just keep guessing. Mm-hmm. So what happens is this, is some people in this life, they want to have their bound feet. Right, JP? So you have a nice, beautiful altar and make beautiful offerings every day and dedicate it to your mother and father, dedicate it for a future life, dedicate it for your children. And then put mantras inside, the sutras wrapped. So when you're prostrating to the sutras. Or you can make many, many small pictures along the Sankhava. They have available thousands. So you put inside, when you make prostrations in one, it's making prostrations in thousands along the Sankhava. Wow. And then you make offerings after that, you make three prostrations and you clean clothes, clean environment, sit, do the meditation I taught you. I'm sorry. Then you do your Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga. Do the Lama Tsongkhapa Guru Yoga. Guru Yoga means what? Lama Tsongkhapa is your guru. Why? You become your own therapist. The guru is just a therapist. In modern language, guru is therapist. What do you think guru is? Someone for you to throw darts at? That's right. Enlightening answer. They're like, oh yeah, I thought he's someone for us to abuse. No. A guru is not for someone for you to be mean and bitchy and rude and ugly to. A guru is someone that teaches you Dharma. So you want to learn Dharma, you be nice to the guru. You give your guru a dream and you be humble. You want to learn Dharma? You don't go, hey guru, can teach me Dharma. Get on. So if you're rude, you're mean, you're not nice, you don't open your heart, you cover, you pretend in front of the guru, you lose. Why do you lose? Only the guru can teach you Dharma. You think? So you go back to your country, you go back to your house, you go to that place, you go sit in front of the statue of Buddha, see, teach me Dharma. See if he talk. No. So you think you have a statue of Buddha, statue of Vajrakini, statue of Tsongkhapa at home, you don't need the guru. The statue talk to you, you just go there, please talk to me. Then your husband see you. Your kids see you. And after a while, you they actually talk and you go, ooh. Why are they talking to me now? Then you think the statue can talk to you? Then you read the Dharma book. You know, many people read Dharma book, wonderful. Have you seen people read Dharma book? Let me show you how people read Dharma book. Then the lunch bell, ding, ding, ding. Oh, lunch. For lunch, we never fall asleep. You see anybody eating lunch and fall asleep? No. You see anybody making money fall asleep? No. You see anybody at the bank counting money fall asleep? You see anybody except Xiao Chen at 8 p.m. falling asleep? No. You never see anybody falling asleep. But doing Dharma, read Dharma. Very deep sleep too. They wake up after Dharma teaching, they go, oh, what a great sleep. I feel good now. Now what do I do? Go home and eat, go to sleep. Think about it. So what's the guru for? The guru teach you Dharma. Guru not for abuse. Guru not ATM machine to lend you money. Guru is not for someone for you to throw all your garbage at. The guru is not for someone for you to abuse. A guru is not your therapist so you can go and kick him every day and get your frustrations out. A guru teach you Dharma. Dharma, guru, you get, you become Buddha. Simple. Abuse guru, you go hell. Okay, you won't believe me on that, I know. So just think about it. A beautiful little altar for all our new people. There's a lot of new people here, people I've never seen. Some of you sitting there looking at me like, when throw joke, don't know can joke, but I can laugh. Don't know, can laugh. I won't point any fingers. And when I look that direction, everybody's like, what? Tsongkhapa's laughing. Did you hear that? Oh, it's not Tsongkhapa, it's why me? I thought Tsongkhapa's laughing. I think, oh, lucky us. Tsongkhapa laughs. And you, no, just kidding. You copied me. Now, for new people, set up a beautiful altar. As grand as possible, as wonderful as possible. As ornate as possible. Don't be a cheapskate when it comes to your altar. And then every day make offerings on the altar. Create the affinity to get good things back. Create the affinity. Then after you make offerings on your altar, make three prostrations and sit down, do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga. Do it for your wife, do it for your husband, do it for your children, do it for your beautiful mother and father. Remember, Buddhism creates harmony. Buddhism brings the family together. You know why Buddhism brings the family together? Let me tell you why. Because it teaches respect. It teaches respect. Buddhism is the most peaceful religion in the world. No wars, no havoc, no nothing in the name of Buddhism ever in its history. Nothing. No forced conversions, no violence, nothing. Buddhism is the most peaceful religion. It's the only religion that can boast it's never created war in its name or in the name of Buddha. Never. You never hear Buddhism associated with any type of violence in the world. Never. It's associated with peace, calm, finding yourself, introspection, harmony. It's associated with that. Even in the West, in America, where I'm from, I've been there for many years. People put Buddha statues in their gardens, whatever, and they're not Buddhist. When you ask them why, they say, well, because it gives a sense of peace and balance in the place. Even a Buddha image has that kind of power. That's right. So you have a beautiful Karasiwata altar. Then you sit in front and do the meditation. Then you do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga. You don't need to do a lot of prayers, do a lot of mantras. And if lamas and teachers and Rinpoches at your stage right now, I'm giving you general teachings, I cannot judge everybody, but I'm giving you general explanation. Don't go for initiations, don't go for rituals. Don't. Why? You can't commit. When you go for teachings, when you go for rituals and initiations with rituals or initiations, full stop, or empowerments, you have to take vows. You have to take the Bodhisattva vows, and you have to take, in some cases, the higher initiation, the Tantric vows. It's very dangerous. Why? If you break those vows, you go backwards. It's very bad. Then some people here are thinking, why wake up like that? God. In the Chinese tradition, you go to Kuan Yin Temple, you say, oh, you know, I want my friends to become healed, I want my mother to become healed, I don't eat beef anymore. You got Bawa. Then if you eat beef, what happened? You break your promise. You have also had that tradition, so don't say, oh, you Tibetans are so complicated. No. No, not at all. Not at all. So therefore, don't go for initiations. Don't go for any, go for teachings. Go only for teachings and listen and absorb. And when you understand what initiations are, when you understand what the vows are, you take initiation. Otherwise, it's not helpful at all. Not helpful. So what happens is, then you have a simple altar, you have a simple Karasiwata in front of you, cushion, you do Lama Tsongkhapa's Guru Yoga, you do Lama Tsongkhapa's Mantra, do it well, come to the center and learn. Come to KP and learn. We have many friends in KP who can teach you. KP is not like the other outlets. KP is Kichara Paradise of SS2. There's a lot of friends here who's very happy to teach Dharma or share with you. They're very nice people, very sincere. Come to KH and learn. And KH is some madame here, some lady about 120 years old who drags her feet, walks around. She can help you a little bit. Yes, I won't give you any names, but anyway, you'll know who she is when she drags her feet. She's not dragging her feet because she's 120. She's dragging her feet because she's 121. Never, I'm just kidding. So you can learn. And then, do the after you do Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra, you should at least twice a year, it's very important, do retreat. You should do the retreat of Lama Tsongkhapa. You should achieve 100,000 mantras minimum. Very important. Before the time of death. Very, very important. What can you take with you? What can you take with you at the time of death? What have you done in your life that's going to help you at the time of death? Why do we always talk about death? It's because it wakes us up. Then you do the death meditation. Just like what I described to you earlier, you do the death meditation. You do it well, you do it very strong. You do it until it moves you. And then, when you do it well, I guarantee you, you will see yourselves transform and change. You will see yourselves transform and change. You will see. You will see your old habits change. You will see your tight mind change. You will see your anger become less. And you'll forgive people. And you'll get along better. And you know what? Even people who created you harm and problems, you'll let go more. You'll find yourself complaining less. Do you know why? You know what's the benefit of complaining less? You suffer less. When you complain less, you suffer less. And isn't this what it's about, spiritual practice, is to make us suffer less? That's what it's all about. And they say, oh, I'm a Gelupa Lama. I'm a Gelupa lineage. I say to you, what difference does it make? What I'm teaching you is the Dharma. They say to you, I'm a Tibetan Lama. I'm a Tibetan teacher. What difference does it make to you about Tibetan or whatever country I'm from, Thai or Chinese or Mayan or Zen Buddhism? I'm teaching you the Dharma. They say to you, hey, this Lama got hair. So, Maybe I'll grow it down to my bedside. I'm teaching you the Dharma. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter what lineage I am. It doesn't matter what monastery I'm from. It doesn't matter. As long as my knowledge is valid and I'm teaching you something that touches your heart. How does it touch your heart? You say yes. That makes sense. Then practice. Time is short. Practice. And after you finish your meditations, you will see your transform. You will see. And attend Dharma talks, please. Attend Dharma talks. Why? Because I want a big crowd, trust me. You can ask any of my older friends and students. I'm not into big crowds, I run. Because I'm here for a purpose to spread the Dharma. So I make the time to be here, you make the time to be here. And we share something beautiful together. We chant a little, we do a little prayers. And then, for some of the serious practitioners who really are committed, we have a book club that I open up to guest members. They can join the book club to learn at a more accelerated rate. I attend it most of the time. And then on top of that, we have beautiful pujas here. Beautiful pujas here to change your karma, change your affinity. You can consult with people here. Okay, that's give you a little introductory talk.